We present Blaine Fairman and Graham Blocky in A Darkening of the Moon. As a teenager in the 1950s, James Follett lost the use of his sight for a period of 4 years. This play is based upon his own experience.
Now, are you going to tell me what this place is?
Can't you guess?
Honey, my first trip to England, and you expect me to know all your old haunts? Okay, I'll guess. We're revisiting the scene of the crime. This is where you first inflicted yourself on some poor girl.
Actually, she was quite well off. Twice my pocket money. This is Richmond Park.
But we haven't been through Richmond. Oh, now I remember you saying something about Richmond Park. Wasn't this where you...
That's right.
You're a disappointment, Steve.
Oh?
If this were a movie, you'd be staring out of the window.
With a furrowed brow.
With a furrowed brow. There'd be heavy music building up, and I'd be saying, Steve, what is it? What's wrong, Steve? You've got to tell me.
Instead, I'm grinning.
Instead, you're grinning.
But I didn't grin at the time.
That I can believe. So why are you now?
It was over 30 years ago, Donna.
Where did it happen? Steve?
Just over there. Come on. Let's do something un-American. Let's walk.
According to the map, this pond is called the Leg of Mutton Pond. Well, it sure is shaped like one.
We used to call it just Mutton. Nothing's changed, not even the name. After all the changes in London, I didn't really expect to find it still here. Even the mole's hills we sat on looked the same. And the gorse bushes, goddamn them.
Why did we come here?
I'm sorry, Donna. I'm wasting our week in England. We ought to be in Brighton, exploring the lanes. You'd love them. Come on.
Steve, why did you come?
Oh, spur-of-the-moment morbid curiosity when I saw the sign to Roehampton.
Tell me about it.
I told you.
20 years ago, before Penny was born, and you never did tell me any details. So, pull up a molehill and tell me now.
Oh, you'd be bored.
So, bore me from the beginning.
The beginning was right here where we're sitting. The school holidays. Easter 1953. There were three of us in our scout patrol on a training hike. Myself and Mike Griffin and our patrol leader, Shrimpton. He was a year older than Mike and me, about 17.
All right. You've rested long enough. Let's get moving.
Oh, come off it, Shrimp. You said we could have 5 minutes. We've not even had three.
Don't argue with me, Griffin. On your feet. And you, Foster.
We've been walking for hours. Anyway, I want to finish this chapter.
Do you want to take part in the coronation, or don't you?
Suppose so.
So you reckon the entire coronation procession is going to wait while you put your feet up and read a book?
Well, can't we walk on the grass, Shrimp? This road's killing my feet.
No, we can't walk on the grass because there's no grass on the procession route. So shove that book... Hey, what is it you're reading anyway?
Oh, no, give it back, Shrimp, please.
Worrell's Flies West? Worrell's? You're reading a girl's book.
There were no saint books in the library. They're always out. Please, give it back.
You come and get it.
That's a library book.
Got to take care of it, then. Griffin, catch.
Shrimp.
See you, Shrimpy.
Please.
Oh, dear. I've thrown it in a gorse bush.
Well, sod you, Shrimpton. You can get it out.
To your book. You're responsible for it.
I can't go in there. I'd rip my uniform to shreds.
Yes, you can. It's easy. All you need is a bit of help.
Shrimpton pushed me. I put out my hands but was unable to save myself from plunging into the great mass of thorns. As they lashed against my face, I felt a sudden agonizing lance of pain that seemed to stab right into my brain.
It wasn't necessary to shove him, Shrimp.
Trying to be helpful. Okay, let's fish him now.
Hold on. Pull him. He's all hooked up on the thorn.
You've hurt me eyes.
Oh, he's free my side.
Okay, Steve, we're going to lift him out. Crikey, Shrimp, he's nice.
There's some iodine in the pack.
My eyes are hurting, Mike. Hurting like mad.
Let's have a look. Yeah. You've got blood in them from the scratches.
Okay, Foster. Keep still and moan.
Don't get it in his eyes.
Mind, you're getting me eyes.
I will if you don't keep still. Yeah, a few scratches. You'll live, worse luck. Okay, let's get moving. We're behind the ease.
Please, Mum, have another look.
Oh, come and stand by the light.
Ow!
Well, keep still, then. No, nothing. Bit bloodshot, but you will keep rubbing them. Look at the mess your face is in. And you stink of iodine. That's what's got in your eyes. How falling in bushes is any preparation for the coronation is beyond me.
Can't read with them like this.
Well, stop rubbing them.
Come on, woman. We'll be late.
I've lost that pair of nylons you got for me.
I don't know why I bother with you.
Well, don't in future, then.
Don't worry, I won't.
What are you going to see?
Ted Ray at the Kingston Empire.
Can I watch television, please, Dad?
Well...
Oh, let him.
So long as you remember to give the tube 5 minutes to warm up before turning up the brightness, and you're to do something about that field telephone wire.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Well, see that you do. I had Mrs. Watson 2 floors down moaning again about the wire hanging across her kitchen window. She said if you don't move it, she'd cut it.
Right?
Hello, Steve. How's the ice?
Bloody awful.
Still hurting?
You're not kidding. You've got the same doctor as us, haven't you? Scraggy Scranton.
Yes, why?
Nothing.
My feet are killing me. How about yours?
Dunno.
I don't see the point of all this walking every flipping weekend. I know I can walk 10 miles, so what's the use of knackering us before the coronation? The only bit I'm looking forward to is the camping in Hyde Park. All those guides from all over the world. Wow.
Jeez.
What's up?
Bloody eyes. Really hurting like hell now.
Can't you put some drops in them or something?
Look, if I'm not okay in the morning, you come with me to see Scraggy.
On a Sunday morning? Are you kidding? You'd do his nut. And he's had it in for me ever since he caught me chucking lumps of wood into his concrete.
That was yonks ago.
Oh, maybe, but he went berserk. I thought he was going to kill me. That's why I'm never ill anymore.
Please, Mike.
Yeah, I suppose. What time?
About 11.
Yes?
Dr. Scranton, I'm Stephen Foster, and I was wondering...
Weren't you the boy that nearly wrecked my horse chestnut tree?
Me, sir?
Yes, you, sir.
No, not me, sir. I think it was my brother, sir.
Damn little liar. I never did give you a thrashing for that, did I? Is that what you've come back for?
Doctor, would you have a look at my eyes, please? I fell in a gorse bush yesterday, and now they're hurting like mad.
Only surprising if you keep rubbing them like that. Come and see me tomorrow morning.
Now, please, Dr. Scranton, I want you to look at them now.
You want? What about what I want? One day in the week when I'm not pestered by boily boys?
I haven't got any boils, but my eyes are hurting. I'd just like you to look at them, please.
Oh, the only way to get rid of you, I suppose. Turn your head to the light. This way. Well, keep your head still. I can't see anything at all. They're so bloodshot. Looks like iodine on these guts. I'll look at them tomorrow. Now clear off the pair of you.
Told you. Mike, what am I going to do? I can't stand this pain much longer.
Steve? Play's starting in 10 minutes. Don't you want to watch it? Steve?
Don't turn the light on, please, Mum.
Steve, what's the matter? Why are you in bed so early?
Took 4 aspirins.
4?
My eyes are still hurting.
Come on, up you get. We'll bathe them again.
I already did. About an hour ago. Doesn't make any difference.
But you can see, all right?
I think so.
What's that supposed to mean?
I think I can see all right. And then sometimes there's a sort of blurry area when I look straight ahead.
Tomorrow we'll go straight round to Dr. Scranton's surgery as soon as I get back from work.
I can take myself in the morning.
Yes, but will you?
Yes.
All right, then. But I'll drag you out of bed first thing to make sure you go.
I'll be all right.
Oh, Mike for you. No. Don't go wasting electricity talking all night.
Field telephones run off batteries.
And they say women can chatter. Good night, Steve.
Night.
Archer.
What do you want?
Oh, charming. If I'm not wanted, I'll forget about it.
I'm sorry, Mike.
What's the matter? Parents had another set too?
For once, I hadn't. Any more questions, mine hair?
Eyes still playing up.
About half an hour ago, I was looking at the moon through that telescope I got for Christmas.
You're a lucky sod having that.
And there was a sort of darkening of the moon when I looked at it with my left eye.
What's that prove?
Don't know. Don't know anything anymore. My mother wants me to go and see Scraggy in the morning.
He'll kick you out.
I'm not going. I mean, what's the point? What does Scraggy know about eyes?
Well, how about a proper eye doctor? A specialist?
That means going through Scraggy.
How about Kingston Hospital?
Hospitals are useless. Look at the mess they made of your broken leg. I bet they haven't even got an eye department.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Harley Street. In London. That's where all the top specialists in the country live.
Don't be stupid. You have to be a millionaire to go there.
Well, my mother went there last year to see a specialist. We're not millionaires. Mike, what are you doing tomorrow?
Fishing.
Since when?
Since just now. I'm not going to London with you.
Afterwards, we can go and see the greatest show on earth.
Six, Bob. Six and six. Seven and six. That's all I've got left. Epoxy seven and six. We should have biked up. I knew they wouldn't let us go arms. My father reckons that nationalisation is the worst thing that ever happened to
them. Well, I've got 8 shillings. We're all right, so stop moaning.
Do you know how much London cinemas charge? Three bob.
Give us the map. We're here on the circus. Harley Street. Oh, bloody hell, it's all gone blurred again.
That's Harley Street, up that road over there. Regent Street to Cavendish Place. We turn left and that'll take us to Harley Street.
Wigmore Place.
I found it.
Yeah. Harley Street.
Harley Street, WI. My mother belongs to the Women's Institute.
It's West One Pratt.
It's just a load of old houses. If this is where the country's top doctors live, why can't they afford modern houses?
Not me doing too badly. There's a Rolls and another. And a Bentley. What's that brass plate say?
JAC Cannon FRCS, KAJ Cousins, MRCS. There's hundreds of them, and not a doctor among them. We've got the wrong place. I told you, it might be the Harley Road near Primrose Hill. And that's miles away.
This is definitely the right place.
It can't be. Talk about overcrowding. There's at least 30 of them in this house. They must be sleeping about 10 to a bedroom. What are you doing?
My eyes are hurting like hell and they're not getting any better listening to you droning on and on.
Maybe this is a slum clearance area. My father says that overcrowding is the biggest cause...
Oh, good afternoon. Can I help you?
Good afternoon, miss. We're sorry to trouble you. Is this the street where all the doctors live?
Oh, well, hardly any of them live here anymore. Harley Street's where they rent their consulting rooms. Who are you supposed to be seeing?
Oh, I've forgotten his name, but he's one of the top eye specialists in the country.
Don't you have an appointment letter? His name will be on that.
No, I lost it.
Oh, dear. I don't really see how I can help.
But I do remember my doctor saying that he was the best eye specialist in the country.
I suppose it might be Mr. Kaplan.
Yeah, that's him.
Mr. Max Kaplan?
Yeah.
Oh, in that case, his consulting rooms are several doors further along that way. I'm not sure of the number, but his name will be on the plate.
Thanks, miss. Thank you very, very much.
Found it, Steve. MJ Kaplan, spelt with a K. Oh. Crikey, he's got enough initials after his name.
Letters.
MD, PhD, FRCS, and about 1,000 more. Ring once and enter. They're just as overcrowded here. So what are you going to say?
Anything. Just so long as I get to see it.
Good morning, boys. Can I help you?
I had an accident to my eyes last Saturday, and I was wondering if Dr. Kaplan could have a look at them for me, please.
Oh, you mean you have an appointment?
Well, no, but I would like Dr. Kaplan to see me, please. It's very important because my eyes are hurting terribly. My right eye is really painful.
Hold on, you mean you've come to see Mr. Kaplan off your own bat?
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't normally, but my eyes are hurting so much.
What's your full name?
Stephen Foster.
Have you been to see your own Dr. Stephen?
Well, sort of, yeah.
Well, your eyes certainly look very bloodshot. Look, go back and ask your doctor to take another look at your eyes. If there's anything wrong, I'm sure he'll arrange for you to see Mr. Kaplan. I'm sorry, Stephen, but he can't see you without an appointment.
But my eyes are hurting so much.
There's another reason why you can't see Mr. Kaplan. He doesn't hold consultations on Mondays.
Will he be in tomorrow?
Oh, yes. But I doubt if your doctor will be able to fix an appointment that quickly.
What sort of car does Mr. Kaplan drive?
An Alvis. Why?
Nothing.
You both slept rough?
Smack in the middle of Regent's Park. Well, we hid ourselves in some bushes. The roaring of the lions kept Mike awake most of the night, and I was kept awake at first by the gnawing pain in my eyes. And then it was the wind and the cold. Anyway, we were up and about at six. We washed in the canal as best we could and found a workers' cafe. Oh, inside it was warm and steamy with a smell of fried eggs and bacon. And after getting through 4 shillings of our money on a mountain of toast and syrup sweet tea, we felt ready to face the world, even if I couldn't see it too well. Well, the rest, you pretty well know. Come on. Otherwise you'll never see anything of England.
Sit down, Steve.
Donna, my sweet, precious angel, I didn't bring you 4,000 miles to sit on a molehill listening to my past.
For the first time in years, we're talking. That means more to me than all the ancient monuments in the world. Please, sit down.
You mean I'm talking? Donna, it was all so many years ago.
And it's been years since we really talked to each other. There are times when I think we hardly know each other. When you were talking just now, I suddenly realized that I was learning something about you that I never knew.
Oh, I see. I'm the one that has to be understood, hmm? I'm the one responsible for the way things are between us.
Steve, what happened after your night sleeping rough?
Well, after we'd eaten, I wanted to get back to Harley Street as early as possible to ambush Mr. Kaplan when he arrived. But we weren't early enough. And Alvis was already parked outside his consulting rooms. The pain in my eyes, especially my right eye, was worse than ever.
It's a bloke out the front door. Nah. That's one of his patients. Doctors don't wear bowlers and pinstripes. Crikey, he's getting to the Alvis. Come on. Stop!
You stupid boys! Running in front of me like that? What are you trying to do? Get yourselves killed?
Oh, sorry, sir, but...
You'd have been more than sorry if I hadn't stopped in time. Now, out of the way.
Mr. Kaplan, my name's Stephen Foster. I had an accident to my
house. How do you know my name?
The nurse who works in your surgery told me.
Mrs. Keith? Yeah. You should be seeing her, not me. Now, tell your friend to get out of the way.
Please, Mr. Kaplan, I want you to look at my eyes.
You want me to what?
Please, sir, you've got to look at my eyes.
Young man, I've got several patients waiting at Moorfields who also want me to look at their eyes. Now, out of the way.
We're not moving till you agree to look at my eyes.
You want me to call the police?
If you'd just listen, sir, please. I had an accident to my eyes last Saturday. My doctor couldn't see anything wrong, but they're hurting like mad. So Mike and me have come to see you. We've been in London since yesterday. We slept rough last night, so I could see you today.
I've never heard of anything so ridiculous in all
my life. Can't you see anything wrong with them or where you are, sir?
Of course I can't, apart from the fact that they're both bloodshot. You slipped out of doors last night?
Yes, sir.
Both of you?
Yes, sir.
Look straight at me without blinking.
Can you see anything wrong, sir?
I don't make a practice of examining eyes while sitting behind the wheel of a car. All right, whatever your name is, I'll take a look at your eyes. But only when you've had a wash, you smell quite disgusting.
Listen, young man, am I speaking a language you don't understand?
No, sir.
Then please do as I say. Just keep looking straight ahead and don't follow the light.
Sorry, sir.
And your left eye?
The light's not nearly so bright. Is there anything wrong, sir?
It was a gorse bush you fell into.
Yes, sir.
What type?
Don't know.
It had long thorns.
Yes, sir. Well, it's sort of spiked, like thorns on a hawthorn tree.
Animals around?
Sheep? Yes, sir.
Have you got a telephone number where I can contact your parents now?
Do you have to contact them, sir?
Yes, I do, young man, right away.
Well, it's the number of my mother's shop in Kingston.
That'll sir. Do. I want to ask them...
Is there anything wrong, sir?
All right, let me have the number, and then I want you to wait outside a few minutes with your friend. First, I'm going to give you 2 injections. I'm afraid that you might find them painful.
Steve? Burrowing so much now, I can hardly think. I think I'm going blind, Mike. I know I'm going blind.
Of course you're not. Not now that he's seen you. He's a proper eye doctor.
But he doesn't believe me. Just gave me these bloody awful injections. Just been best night, I reckon. And now he's going to phone my mother to come and fetch me.
Oh, crikey. There's going to be an awful row. You did promise to say that you made me do this. You won't forget.
Open the door a bit. I want to hear what they're saying.
I shouldn't really.
Please, Mike. I want to hear.
Can I speak to Mrs. Janet Foster, please? Ah, Mrs. Foster. Yes, you don't know me. I'm Max Kaplan of Harley Street. I'm an eye specialist. I have your son Stephen with me. Yes, I'm in London. Please listen carefully. No, I'm afraid he's not all right. Please listen carefully, Mrs. Foster. Your son has a serious infection in both eyes as a result of his accident last week. I'm taking him now to the Royal Eye Hospital at Surbiton because they can have an operating theatre ready for me in an hour. Can you get there as soon as possible? No, there's no time to lose. There's been enough time wasted as it is. Now, please now calm down, Mrs. Foster. I'll do all I can, but in case you're delayed, I need your verbal consent now for me to do whatever I consider necessary. Yes, I might have to operate right away. Do I have your consent? Thank you, Mrs. Foster. So I'll see you at the Royal Eye Hospital. It's near the Ace of Spades Roadhouse on the A3. Did you hear her?
Yes, Mr. Kaplan.
Good. You'll have to cancel Moorfields, of course. I'll have a word with the boy. Right, young man, I expect you heard all that.
Yes.
Not for you, Michael, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Your best bet is to take yourself home. I'm taking your friend straight to hospital.
What was he like?
Max Kaplan?
Mm-hmm.
I always remember him as a slightly wizened little man. He certainly wasn't a stereotyped, warm-hearted television soap surgeon dispensing platitudes. In fact, I found him very intimidating. In the weeks that followed, I never warmed to him, despite all he did for me. Anyway, we arrived at the Royal Eye Hospital. By now, everything was enveloped in a strange, milk-like fog. I was bundled into a side room and given a National Health Service issue nightshirt thing to change into. There was a nurse present. I found out later that her name was Mary. Nurse Mary Finch.
She made an impression on you.
Oh, yes. Looking back, I think I fell in love with Mary Finch. Her face was a blur, but I could see that she was very pretty, which made the ordeal of getting undressed in her presence even more of an embarrassment.
You? Embarrassed?
I was a teenager. I climbed onto a stretcher on wheels, and she gave me an injection in the arm. Oh, the wonderful thing about the drowsiness that followed was that it brought about an end to 4 days of constant pain. Next, there were the lights passing by overhead as I was pushed along a corridor. If I'd known they were the last things I'd see for a long, long time, maybe I would have taken more notice of them. And then nothing. When I woke up, it was a different atmosphere to the place. I could smell food, fried eggs and tea, and the sounds of activity in the corridor. I cautiously eased a hand from under the covers and explored the great swathe of bandages that covered my eyes.
Morning, Stephen.
No, you mustn't touch your bandages.
Sorry.
How are you feeling this morning?
Morning?
We thought you'd never wake up. In this place, no one is allowed to sleep after 7 o'clock.
The pain's gone. Does that mean my eyes are better?
I'm Nurse Finch. I was the nurse who saw you yesterday when you were admitted, remember?
Yeah.
How about some breakfast?
Oh, yeah, please.
Why don't you scrambled eggs and toast and tea, okay?
Yeah, fine. Thanks.
You're going to have to promise me something, Stephen. Can I call you Steve?
Yeah, of course.
Mr. Kaplan said you must keep your head absolutely still for a few days. That means I'll have to feed you. Do you understand?
I'm not a baby.
Of course you're not. But you must keep your head very still if you want your eyes to get better.
Can't I sit up?
You are half sitting up. Now, how do you like your porridge? Hot or cold milk?
The first 2 days passed without visitors. In fact, I was much too busy adjusting to the routine of hospital life to worry about anything, including not being able to see. Having been introduced to the bottle, I was striving desperately to postpone an introduction to the bedpan. My Saturday, a week after the accident, Nurse Mary Finch was dropping dark hints that she would be applying certain remedies if my bowels didn't move of their own accord that day. It wasn't funny at the time. On that Saturday afternoon, my parents visited me. And it was then that I realized, to my horror, that I would not be able to postpone my introduction to the bedpan for much longer.
Oh, dear.
Exactly. Can you imagine the scene? Here they were, their marriage breaking up, striving to maintain some sort of marital unity in the face of this disaster that had overwhelmed their one and only, and he seemed totally uninterested in their presence.
Everyone at work sends their best, son.
I wonder who I should give your ration book to. I was told to bring it in.
He doesn't want to be worried about things like that.
Well, I suppose I should have given it to the nurse when I spoke to her. She said that a doctor saw you yesterday.
Yeah. Not Mr. Kaplan?
No. Dr. Fisher. He works here.
What did he have to say, son?
Nothing.
Well, what happened? Well?
Nothing, what? Got wheeled into another room. Nurse took the bandages off, one at a time. He shone a light in my right eye. Well,
surely he shone it in both eyes.
Yeah, I might have done.
Okay, Janet, okay.
No one tells us anything. That's why I can't stand. I mean, why can't we be told? We're not stupid. We haven't got horns or anything growing out of our heads.
All right. Look. We'll have another word with that nurse. Now, come on. You'll only upset Steve.
What are you? She doesn't know anything. None of them do. It's all my fault.
Well, maybe we'd better go. Sorry about this, son.
Nothing's her fault, Dad. She knows that.
She won't accept it, Steve. She hasn't slept since all this happened. Now, come on, Janet. On your feet. I think we'd best be going. Say goodbye to Steve.
Goodbye, darling. We'll be along tomorrow.
Okay, Mum. I look forward to it.
Oh.
Bye, son. Is there anything you need? Anything at all?
I can't think of anything, thanks, Dad.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow, then. Keep smiling.
Bye, darling.
Bye, Mum.
You mustn't upset yourself.
Nurse? Nurse Finch?
All right, coming. What is it, Steve?
Please, nurse, that bedpan thing, quickly, please.
Knowing what you're like when you're ill, you must have been the world's worst patient.
I'll tell you what, being blind, I think I was the world's most bored patient. I started listening to the radio. Not just the comedy programs, but the plays. There was always a full-length play every Saturday night on the home service. Saturday Night Theatre. Every week, a completely different story. Every imaginable thing under the sun. Whodunits, cloak and dagger, sword and sorcery. I used to long for Saturday night. And you know, when a play was over, it seemed to me that I'd just sat through a film. Everything was there. Technicolor, 3D, costumes, everything. And the real wonder was listening on headphones so that all your attention was focused on the characters and story. They became a part of you, in the way that the characters on TV or in a film never can. Only those who are blind, or have been blind, can understand the real magic of a radio play.
I think I can imagine.
The other loss was not being able to read. Before the accident, I used to read 5-6 books a week. So one afternoon, when there was nothing much on the radio, I decided to do something about it. I waited until I heard Nurse Finch in the corridor when she came on duty. By now, I knew her footsteps from the other nurses.
Nurse Finch? Would you do me a great big favour, please?
Let's hear it.
Could you get me a book from the library, please?
A Braille book?
Yeah.
But Steve, you can't read Braille. You don't have to learn, because your right eye is going to get better.
I'll soon get used to it.
Well, yes, but...
Please, nurse. Please. It's just I get so bored lying here.
Well, don't you like me reading to you when I go off duty?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm very grateful. But I want to do something for myself. Please.
All right. I'll see if the library have got some Braille lesson books.
No, I don't want lesson books. I want a proper book. I want to read.
I'll see what I can find. Won't be a minute. Oh, well, I found you a book. Move your legs over. Volume 1. Volume 2.
and volume 3. Should keep you occupied for an hour or two, especially as you can't read Braille.
What is it?
The Cruel Sea.
Oh, fantastic. I always wanted to read it, but the rotten librarian would never let me borrow it.
Hardly surprising. I read it last year. I didn't tell them who it was for, so you look after it.
Why is it so big? 3 volumes? There's only 1 book in the library.
That's Braille for you. This is an instruction card. Give me your fingers. Right. Now, hold them like this. That's right. I'm not trained for this, so I'm probably doing it all wrong. That's the first letter, A. A single dot. Oops, we missed B. That's the third letter, C. 2 dots side by side.
What? I thought Braille was just ordinary raised letters. I'll never be able to read this.
Thousands of blind people do, Steve. So don't be difficult.
What's this letter?
What does the pattern feel like?
3... No, 4 dots.
Very good, Steve. That's a G.
This is terrible.
No, it's not. It's an H. Think of the 6 dots on a dice.
Yeah?
That's the basis of the Braille cell. The first 10 letters of the alphabet, A to J, consist of combinations of up to 4 dots, using the top 2 rows only. Let's go through them. A.
A.
B.
B.
C.
C
D.
D.
E.
E
F.
F
G,
G.
H.
H
I.
I.
J.
J.
Good. Now, move your fingers down to the second row, like so. We have the next 10 letters, K to T. They're the same as A to J, except that each letter now has a dot on the bottom row.
Yeah.
I don't suppose it makes much sense, but it will.
No, I think it does. It's just that I thought Braille was ordinary raised letters.
It's amazing how many people do. I'd better dash before Sister catches me. Good luck.
Nurse?
Yes?
Thanks.
I only hope the naughty bits have been censored. Bye.
Two dots at the top. C. Space. 2 dots down, 1 along. H. 1 dot A. 3 dots down, 1 at the top. P. C H A P. Chap. Chap? Oh, chapter. Chapter 1. The first 2 words in Braille. About 1 million to go.
How long do you think it took me to learn Braille?
Well, I don't know, darling. A week? 2 weeks?
2 hours.
Oh. Well,
admittedly, it was grade 1 Braille, but I learnt it. The very first line of The Cruel Sea was the worst line in the whole book. Lieutenant Commander George Eastwood Erickson. Every word of that god-awful line is permanently engraved on my memory.
And were the naughty bits in there?
Oh, yes. I read them so many times, I wore the dots smooth. I got to those passages in about 2 days. I'd never read anything like it before.
Ah, an awakening of your sexuality. It's never been to sleep since.
An awakening? You're kidding. Not only was it awake, it was hammering on the bars and screaming. Reading that book made me realize just how desperately I was in love with Mary Finch. The first time she gave me a blanket bath was an agony of embarrassment. But after getting stuck into the cruel sea, I yearned for her touch. Perhaps a little too much.
Okay, Steve, that's your arms done. Now, let's have a leg.
Nurse?
Yes?
Can I call you Mary?
Well, why not? But it's Nurse when Sister's around, okay?
You got a boyfriend, Mary?
Oh, yes. Why?
Just wondered.
Actually, we're engaged. Right. Now the other leg. Stephen.
What?
Naughty.
I'm sorry.
If you think I'm impressed, I'm not.
I can't help it.
Whether you can or not doesn't matter. You can finish yourself off. Obviously, I'll have to have a word with Sister about putting something in your cocoa.
I'm sorry.
On second thoughts, maybe I'd better do it. I can't trust you to do anything properly. Can't have you dirty behind the ears for Mr. Kaplan.
When's he coming?
This afternoon.
Yes, thank you, nurse. Can you put his dressings back on and open the blinds? Oh, and you needn't dress his left eye anymore.
Yes, Mr. Kaplan.
Well, that's it. What do you think?
The limbal incision from the lens extraction has healed, but not the original lacerations of the epithelium. It's still dislodged from the membrane.
And at least 60% of it is still missing.
The same as when he was admitted.
Yeah. It's not getting any better. On the other hand, it's not getting any worse. At least the condition is stable. Suggestions?
Tarsorrhaphy. And another examination in 2 weeks.
I agree. Except that I'd prefer a month. So we'll leave it another week to make certain, and then we'll go ahead. Fine. Okay. Well, young man, time you and me had a frank little chat. You seem to have a grain of intelligence, so I see no harm in telling you the truth. I believe Dr. Fisher has told you that you've lost the sight of your left eye.
Yes, sir.
Luckily, you responded remarkably well to antibiotics, so I decided at the last minute not to remove it. You've still got the eye, of course, and externally it looks pretty near normal. But you managed to get some nasty germs in there. They attacked the retina and damaged the head of the optic nerve. That's the nerve at the back of the eye that sends information to the brain.
Yes, sir, I understand that. What about my right eye?
Yes. Well, there's the rub. Because of the infection in your right eye, I had to perform a cataract operation. That meant removal of the lens from the side of your eye.
Does that mean I won't be able to see out of it? I mean, I can see your light just now.
But you said it was blurred and foggy?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's because there's aqueous fluid where the lens used to be, and that fluid is very cloudy. We're hoping it will clear. But even when that happens, because you haven't got a lens in your right eye to focus images onto your retina, everything will seem hopelessly blurred.
So I'll need glasses?
No. A practical way of restoring your sight would be by getting a lens right against your eye to take over the work of the lens you've lost. A contact lens should do the job nicely. There's another problem that we have to get out of the way first. Do you know what the cornea is?
No, sir.
It's a tough, transparent membrane that covers and protects the front of the eye. Unfortunately, it's not tough enough to withstand thorns. What's happened to your cornea is that it's been so badly lacerated it's virtually non-existent. Usually heals, but in your case doesn't even want to heal. And until it does, we can't consider our next step or a contact lens or anything. You understand everything so far?
Think so, sir.
That means putting a long-term dressing on your right eye. The best dressing in the world.
The best dressing in the world for the human eye, in those days anyway, was the human eyelid. A week later, Max Kaplan examined me again. There was still no improvement to my cornea, so he stitched the eyelids of my right eye together.
Oh, you're kidding.
But once that was done, I didn't need bandages anymore. That was great. I was totally blind, but at least I could now scratch my nose. But there was bad news.
But I can't go home yet. I can't see. I'm totally blind.
It's a month to your next examination, so you might as well go home. Oh, sure, you don't want to be stuck in here with us for longer than you have to.
My parents fight a lot.
Yes, I guess it must be something like that.
I must look terrible with one eye stitched down. I'm not able to face people.
No one can see a thing through those dark glasses. In fact, they give you an air of mystery. You look very handsome in them.
Do I?
You look smashing, really. Going home is the best thing for you, Steve. I know how you feel. People treat you as a grown-up here. Because there's other people here who can't see, you don't feel so conspicuous. But you'll get used to the outside, I promise you. And just think, you won't have me forcing pills down your throat if your bowels haven't moved.
Now, come on. This way. That's it. No, there's nothing in the way. Everywhere's clear. I had a good clear out in readiness for your coming home. That's it. Oh, it's amazing the amount of junk you can attract in 16 years of marriage.
All right, Mum.
Now turn round. That's it. Now, sit. Good. There.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah?
Oh. It's lovely having you home. I've missed you so much. Now, don't move. I'll put the kettle on. How about some early lunch?
Yeah, please.
Beans on toast?
Super. Why aren't you having anything, Mum?
Oh, I'll... Well, to be honest, I have to be going soon, Steve. I could only get the morning off, look. You must promise me that you won't go out. Dr. Fisher was most insistent that you took everything very easy for a few days. No rushing about or anything.
I won't go out.
Promise?
Promise.
I'll get back as quickly as possible. Something I forgot to tell you. Dad won't be coming home tonight. Or any night.
What followed was the most miserable period of my life.
Even worse than the time sleeping rough in London.
Far worse. It wasn't so much being blind, although that was bad enough, but it was being so bloody helpless and having to rely on my mother. I hated her having to wait on me hand and foot. She used to work 6 days a week in that shop, on her feet, all day. And as soon as she got home, she'd start preparing a meal. All right, so she let me help with the washing up, and I could make my own bed and dress myself and go to the toilet, but that was about all. And even using the toilet could be a problem.
How?
Doesn't matter.
Come on, tell me.
I used to make a mess when I went for a pee. I knew when I'd made the mess and tried to clean it up, but obviously I never did it properly because I used to hear Mother cleaning up the bathroom after me. A change of tactics was called for. Kneeling at the toilet solved the problem, and I was very pleased with myself. Until one day the lavatory seat fell on me.
I have this feeling that if I were to laugh, you'd get mad at me.
Be my guest. At least cleaning up the bathroom was one less thing that my mother had to do for me. God, how she worked. She never complained, even though I was becoming short-tempered and more difficult to cope with. Anyway, I'd been home a week when I decided that I'd give her a nice surprise by having a meal ready for her when she got in from work.
Hello, Steve. I've brought some cocoa for you.
Thanks, Mum. I'm sorry about the mess in the kitchen, really I am.
Oh, that doesn't matter. What matters is you. I've been talking to Mr. Dixon, my solicitor. I haven't bothered you with this before, but he's been dealing with your case for me with the Boy Scout Association.
What's it got to do with them?
We might be suing them for negligence over what happened to you.
It wasn't their fault.
Well, you were on an official scout exercise under supervision. But that's not what I want to talk to you about. Listen, Steve.
What?
I don't think it's right that you should be left alone all day for the next 3 weeks while I'm at work. I can't go through every day worrying about you. If anything happened to you that stopped your cornea from healing properly, I'd never forgive myself. You can't go back to school.
Oh, I couldn't bear it anyway, not when I'm like this.
Well, that's the other thing I was talking to Mr. Dixon about. He knows the headmistress of a special school near Dorking that caters for teenagers with disabilities. And Mr. Dixon says that it's a marvellous...
Well, I'm not disabled.
Well, you have got a disability, love. A very serious disability. Now, you'll only be there for 3 weeks, but at least you'd be under supervision. And you can continue your studies, because the school runs ONC courses.
No, I don't want to go. I'm all right here.
I'm sorry, Steve, but I can't take the risk. If there's a chance of getting you into the Candice Webb School, then you're going there, whether you like it or not.
Welcome to the Candice Webb School, Stephen. I'm Carol Bingham, the Big White Chief. Except I'm not very big. Sorry I wasn't here to see you earlier. I like to make myself known to the students only after their parents have left. Can I call you Steve?
I don't mind.
Steve it is. And you can call me Carol. You look surprised. Why?
Never called a teacher by the first name.
Well, we're a funny old school, Steve. But you'll soon get used to us, even if you are here for only 3 weeks. We've got 41 students aged between 14 and 17. Well, 42 now. About half of them are blind and the other half need wheelchairs. There's no steps anywhere. We have long ramps instead, mainly for wheelchairs. No curbs to trip over, no holes to fall into, except on the miniature golf course, and you're much too big to fall into one of those. Aha, you're smiling. All the corridors are carpeted and there's handrails everywhere. If you can no longer feel carpet underfoot, you know you're about to walk into a wall. It's the same outside. If you find yourself walking on gravel and not on tarmac, you'll know you're about to trample all over my daffs and tulips. All wheelchairs are subjected to a speed limit, and they've got little bells on their wheels so that you know what it is that's about to run you over. The place is about as hazardry as possible, so if I see you going around with a white stick, I'll set fire to it. According to your notes, no active sports. Monopoly, maybe, although that can get rough, but definitely not football.
Football? You mean your vice students play football?
Oh, yes, with a football with a bell in it. It does get very rough, especially when they play with a blind ref. Well, now to fix you up with a pair of eyes. Gwen, send Penny in, please.
Right away, Carol.
Ah. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Carol.
Steve, this is Penny. She's going to be your eyes for 3 weeks, and you're going to be her muscles. Penny's a polio victim, and she can't walk. Penny, say hello to Steve. He's 6 months younger than you, and he's blind. But only for a little while.
Hello, Steve.
Penny?
I don't know if you like brunettes, Steve, but Penny is very dark and very pretty. The only thing that spoils her is that she does tend to park her wheelchair on people's toes.
Sorry, Carol.
Don't worry. I'm healing nicely. The system we have here, Steve, is that we pair students. A disabled but sighted student paired with a blind student. Penny will be your eyes and you'll be her muscles. It means you can go out together in your free times. Buses, trains, virtually anything. Penny waves to a bus or train to stop, you help her on board. It gives you both freedom and independence, and that you wouldn't otherwise have. She'll show you around and tell you all about the few rules we have. Any questions?
So what about this Penny?
Well?
We really should be making a move, Donna.
Steve, tell me about Penny.
There's nothing much to tell.
I think there is.
There's nothing.
If I remember, it was your idea to call our daughter Penny. So I'd like to hear about her.
Well, she showed me around the place.
You pushing her wheelchair?
Yes.
Left a bit. That's better.
Sorry.
Okay, stop here. This is the third door on the left from Carol's office. That's it. Hand a bit lower.
Feels like a giant bee.
It is. Boys' toilets. The next door is the girls'. Get caught in there and you'd never get out alive.
I remember that. Where now?
Keep going. Straight ahead. Okay.
Where is everyone?
At this time, netball in the gym. We'd better see Jack Kingsley about your room and timetable. But it's time for a coffee first.
Coffee?
Mmm. We've got a milk bar. We run it ourselves. You'll have to take a turn at serving. I just thought. It's Thursday. Jack will be working in there at this time.
Here we are, Penny, my angel. Two coffee dashes. All milk and water and not much coffee. Made just the way you don't like it.
Jack, this is Steve. He arrived today.
Steve? Steve Foster?
Yes, sir.
How do you do, Steve?
I'm Jack Kingsley.
How do you do? Well, you finally got your muscles, Penny. Look strong.
Only for 3 weeks.
I was told about you, Steve. You've got bed four in B4. Got that?
Yeah, bed four in B4.
Are you a teacher, sir? I try to be. Penny, will you please get your wheelchair off my foot?
Sorry. What about Steve's timetable, Jack?
Oh, what's the time? Nearly three. Come and see me after dinner, Steve, about eight. Penny will show you where my room is.
Can we have the rest of the afternoon off, Jack? Please. It's ages since I've been out.
Why not? But don't you go making Steve push you up Box Hill, young lady.
Oh, heavens, this is fantastic. I've not been for a proper walk for ages. Left a bit.
How long have you been at Candice Way?
Left a bit. Not too much. Path gets better in a mo. 5 years, since I was 12.
Where are we going?
for stepping stones. We're nearly there. There are a line of flat stones across the River Mole. I love coming down here. I used to end up waiting for someone to come by to push me back up the hill. One day it was a little old man. I think pushing me nearly finished him off.
Whoa!
We're here. Is the grass dry?
Bone dry.
Smashing. Let's sit on my blanket. Here. Spread it out.
Well, won't you be cold without it?
There's hardly any feeling in my legs. You'll have to lift me. You should see your face. Don't worry, I hardly weigh anything. Give me your arm. That's it. Round my back. And your other arm under my legs. Ready? And lift. See? I'm like a feather. That's right. Just here. Ah. Oh. That's smashing. My weight surprised you.
No?
Yes, it did. I could tell by your expression.
No. It wasn't that.
What then? Please tell me. You needn't worry. I'm used to everything now.
Your legs. They're like matchsticks.
No, they're not. Matchsticks are much stronger. Shh. Keep still.
What?
Kingfisher. Oh, isn't he beautiful? Just a few yards away. Oh, he's gone. I'm sorry. I forgot you can't see.
That doesn't matter. I'd like to know what's going on.
Can't you see anything?
No. But I will be able to after the next operation.
Take your glasses off.
No.
Go on. I want to see your eyes. Your glasses are so large and black, they're like manhole covers.
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want to, that's why not.
Touchy.
No, I'm not.
You are.
It's none of your business.
All I want is to look at your eyes. What's the harm in that? I don't mind people from the school seeing my legs.
Yeah? Well, I can't see your legs. I wouldn't want to if I could. So I don't see why you should want to see my eyes. Come on, let's get back.
I don't want to go back yet. We've only just got here.
Well, stay here then.
A hiker found her and brought her back.
I've repacked me things.
What for?
Oh, for leaving her like that.
I'm not blaming you for what happened, Steve. Nor am I throwing you out.
But I thought you...
Penny's a difficult girl. She wouldn't tell me what happened, but I think I can guess.
She wanted to look at my eyes. She wanted me to take my glasses off.
Are you sensitive about your eyes, Steve? Be honest with me. If you are, it's perfectly understandable.
Yes.
Steve... You know that her condition is incurable?
I guessed it might be.
You'll be out of here in 3 weeks, whereas she might be here for many years to come.
Even when she's grown up?
This is confidential, Steve. I want you to understand that.
Yeah.
Penny is virtually an adult now, just as you are. Both her parents are dead, but they left a small trust fund for her. She can stay here as long as she wishes. She wants to be a teacher, so she might even join the staff, I don't know. But I do know that I'm very fond of her. She doesn't want anyone to feel sorry for her, and yet she refuses to accept that anyone can like her for herself.
I won't apologise to her.
That might be a mistake, anyway. Go and have a word with her. She'll probably be in the library. It's the door at the far end of the corridor.
Hello? Is anyone in here?
I'm here.
You all right, then?
No thanks to you. Who told you I was here? Carol?
She said I was looking for you. I've come for a book. Where's the shelves?
Stay on the carpet, straight ahead. The Braille books are at eye level on the left. Your eye level, that is. Clumsy.
They must turn him back to fall off anyway.
Only because you've pushed them.
Let me help.
I can manage.
You'll put them back in the wrong order. Boys can be so stupid. Give them to me. These go on the middle shelf at the end. No, the next shelf down, stupid.
I'm not stupid.
Of course you are. All boys are. Spotty and stupid.
I haven't got spots, so don't go saying I have.
Oh, no?
No.
Then what's that nasty growth in your neck?
What growth?
Your head. Ouch! Clumsy oaf, you dropped books on my lap.
Oh, dear, well, let's hope they're not damaged.
You pig, that hurts.
Good.
Mind where you're going. Only ghosts can walk through walls. I hope you haven't damaged it. Try going through the door on your right. You'll find it much easier.
I don't need your help, bitch.
Oh, hell. Steve.
Your own milk bar? Why can't we have things like this?
It's all right, I suppose.
All right? Right. Is that really the headmistress serving behind the bar?
What, Carol? She does now every Saturday morning.
Oh, she's nice.
Who?
A girl in a wheelchair, just come in. Looks older than the others, dark, really pretty. Hello? I think she's looking at me. Funny thing, she came in by herself. All the others in wheelchairs have someone to push them. Oh, she really is pretty. Do you reckon she fancies me?
She's a cripple.
So what? She can't run away. She's got nice big chops.
Ah, finished with your cups, gentlemen.
Yes, thanks.
A Penny, do you mind if I shoot you over to Stephen's table? Only I want to clean your table, OK?
That's OK, Carol.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Hello, Penny. I'm Mike.
Hello, Mike. Are you and Steve friends?
That's right.
We're supposed to be. Aren't we, Steve?
Eh?
Doesn't matter.
Can I, get you something, Penny?
Oh, a coffee, please, Mike.
Shan't be a sec.
I'm sorry, Steve. Really, I am. I've been a real bitch.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's more my fault than yours. I'm sorry, too.
How about starting again?
All right, then.
You know what I'd love to do more than anything else in the world?
What's that?
I'd love to go to the seaside. Brighton. Sod it. I've run out of pennies. The light always goes off just as it gets to an interesting bit. Give us a penny, Steve.
How can I hold you and feeling me pocket for money at the same time? Anyway, these machines aren't meant for young girls.
Spoil sport. I only wanted to see what the woman looked like. All right, put me down. Anyway, I feel much better now. My top half is much better than hers.
Top half of what? Oh, yeah.
How much money have we got left?
Feels like 3 half-crowns, shilling and a sixpence.
3 2-shilling pieces, idiot.
Feel the same.
We better not spend any more money here. I don't know. It's a good job you've got me to look after you, Stephen Foster.
Hang on, I'm looking after you.
You'd be stranded down here, penniless and starving without me.
What do you want to do now?
Steve?
Yeah?
Closer. I want to tell you something.
Something insulting?
No, silly. Closer.
Well?
Hey, let go. People are looking.
Don't you like me kissing you?
What'd you do that for?
Men, I give up. I kissed you because you've been kind. You've always asked me what I've wanted to do.
I've got strong arms. You nearly strangled me.
Look in your top pocket.
What for?
Look in your top pocket.
It's empty.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Turn it inside out.
No, nothing.
Pity. I thought your sense of humour might have been hiding in there.
Ha, bloody ha. If you're going to behave like that, I'll have to stop being nasty to you.
Shall I lose my temper? No, I'm in much too good a mood. Let's go and get some fish and chips and take them down to the beach. Oh, please, do stop sulking, Steve. It was only a joke.
Which is the way out?
I don't know how they can do it. The sea must be freezing.
How many of them?
Two girls and two blokes. Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
It's one of the girls going out of the water. Her swimming costume's gone transparent. As I'm your eyes, I suppose I'd better tell you what I can see.
Don't have to.
Don't you want to know?
No.
Liar.
All right, then. Give me all the lurid details.
Oh, too late. She just turned her back. Steve.
What?
Have you ever... with a girl?
Like a what?
No.
You say some funny things.
Well, have you? Be honest.
What's it to you?
Have you?
No. Have you?
What do you think?
I don't know what to think about you, Penny.
Hey, that's the first time you've ever used my name.
Let's go for a walk.
There's a strip of hard sand along by the water's edge. That's much better. The answer is no, of course. Is that what you thought?
You're a funny girl.
Let's run.
What?
The clear bit of sand goes on for miles. Come on, start running.
You sure this is okay?
Right a bit. This is fun. Faster.
I've been wanting to do this for ages.
Right a bit more, faster. There's nothing in the way. Whee! Come on, slowly. Faster.
I can't go any faster.
Steve, we're wrong. Oh!
Penny? Penny, where are you? Penny! Penny, wake up! Penny? You all right?
Of course I'm all right.
Sorry. Really, I am.
It was my fault. I thought it was a bit of seaweed. Put your arms around me and help me up.
For a moment, I thought...
Shh. Just kiss me again.
I don't know how long it was we lay on the beach. It was getting dark and my eye was hurting, but that didn't matter. She was the only thing that mattered. Afterwards in the train, she curled up against me. She seemed so tiny and defenseless. While she was asleep, I touched her face and her hair. She was beautiful. That week was my last week before I went back to the hospital for the examination. I hardly saw her. We didn't have the same timetable, but it seemed to me that she was avoiding me. The evening before I was due to leave, I summoned up the courage to turn left into the forbidden corridor. That's where the girls' rooms were.
Who is it?
It's me, Penny.
Oh. What do you want?
I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
You'd better go away, Steve. You'll get into trouble.
I'll write to you, Penny.
And I'll write back. Tell me how everything goes.
I'll come and see you when I can.
No, please, don't do that, Stephen. Remember me as a voice. Please. Promise me?
All right, Penny. Bye.
Bye, Stephen. Good luck.
Well, that's such good news, young man. You've been taking it easy, as I said.
Yes, sir.
And then running about?
No, sir.
I find that hard to believe, but never mind. It's been a very slight improvement to your cornea. whereas it ought to be virtually completely healed by now. I certainly can't do anything in its present state. There's so little improvement in a month. It seems to me that we're going to have to stitch up your eye for much longer this time.
And that evening, when you came to my door, afterwards I couldn't forgive myself for not letting you in.
Why didn't you?
Oh, because 100 things that you'd never understand. Oh, look, the kingfisher's back. His plumage is every colour of the rainbow. Blue, green, everything.
Wish I could see it.
I like describing things to you. I like being your eyes.
Wish I could see you.
Oh, it wouldn't be the same if you could.
What wouldn't?
You'd never understand. It's funny, isn't it? I'm only a year or so older than you, and yet sometimes I feel so much older.
Well, I'm bigger. And stronger.
Who's arguing?
No. I don't even know the colour of your eyes.
Black. Small, close together, beady, close-set, evil little black eyes. Oh, God, it's hot. I don't need this blanket. Let's go for a walk. There's a little path along by the river. A secret place I want to show you.
Not much further, Penny.
Not far. Branch, duck.
Oh, sodder. I've lost my dark glasses. Now, don't look at me.
I'm not. Don't move. They're by your left foot. What would you do without me?
I won't be here for a start.
We're just coming up to a bank that slopes down. It takes me ages when I come down by myself. Steady. Keep your head down.
Bloody hell, this is hot work. You go to this bank by yourself?
Mm. By pulling on the overhanging branches. Okay, we're here.
Where?
My secret place. It's like a miniature swimming pool, completely hidden by trees and bushes. The edge of the bank is about 2 feet away, so be careful where you sit.
Getting eaten by mossies.
The water's about 4 feet deep in the middle of the pool.
How do you know?
I swam in it last summer.
Oh, by yourself?
Hmm. I love swimming. It's so lovely being able to move about just how I like. But I hate going to the public baths. The noise stops when you go in. I mean, they all pretend not to stare at you. There's even crowds in there during the private sessions. Kids learning how to swim. Yeah, Dad, what's wrong with that girl's legs? That sort of thing. Here, there's no one.
You could have had an accident.
Hmm. I once had an awful job pulling myself out of the water. But now I've got you.
Hey?
Don't you want to go for a swim?
I haven't got my shorts.
Keep your pants on, stupid.
What about towels?
There's the sun and my blanket. Now stop moaning and get undressed.
I heard her wriggling out of her clothes while she directed me into the water. Once I'd got the feel of the place, I picked her up and carried her into the water. Anyway, we had an enjoyable hour's swim, dried ourselves and went back.
You missed out something.
I don't think so.
Well, I do. What happened when you went swimming?
Nothing happened in the sense you mean.
I didn't mean it like that, and you know it. But something happened.
You're nosy, Donna.
That's not fair. I've already said that I like learning about you.
After 20 years, don't you think it's a bit late for that?
If I thought that, I'd never have agreed to this vacation. Listen, Steve. You know just about everything there is to know about me. You know my parents, my old sorority friends, even a couple of old steadies. And yet I hardly know anything about you. So, tell me what happened at that old swimming hole, Huck.
When I picked Penny up, I realized that all she had on was her panties. She hooked her arms around my neck. I felt her against me. Warm, alive, vibrant. And then she did something unforgettable. Before I could stop her, she removed my dark glasses and kissed my stitched-down eyelid. It must have looked grotesque, and yet... We went swimming down there many times after that. But I'll never forget that first time. That 3 months seemed to fly.
You were good for her.
No, she was good for me. In all that time, being blind didn't seem to matter because I had her as my eyes. If it hadn't been for her, that period of my life would have been misery.
In all that time, didn't you make love to her? Or even want to? No. No. Don't look so angry. I'm sorry, Steve. You're right. I am being nosy. What happened when you left Candice Webb?
Of course I wanted to make love to her. On our fifth or sixth swim, I touched her and she immediately became very tense and frightened. The last thing in the world I wanted to do was to frighten her, so I didn't try again. I had about a week left at the school when Carol asked me to see her in her office.
You're leaving us in a week, Steve. I want you to know that we'll be praying for you.
Thanks.
And I want to thank you for what you've done for Penny. Keep in touch with her, won't you, Steve? Come and see her whenever you can. Take her out. You've become a valuable prop for her that I don't want suddenly knocked away. Eventually she might meet someone. I pray that she will. But until that happens, let her down gently.
On the day before I was due to leave, we went down to the swimming hole for a final swim. We sat huddled close together on the bank with a blanket around us, not saying anything for a long time.
Give me your hand.
What are you doing?
You've got nice hands. Warm and strong. That's nice.
Maybe we should be getting back.
Not yet, Steve. Let's say goodbye first. The way we both want to.
Afterwards, I told her that I wished we'd made love earlier. She said the same thing. I tried to see her the next day before I left, but she was as good as her word. She shut herself in her room and refused to come out. As for me, it was back to the Royal Eye Hospital and Mr. Kaplan. He and Dr. Fisher removed the stitches in a darkened examination room, and I opened my right eye for the first time in 3 months. There was a blurred spot of light in front of me, hopelessly blurred, but the fogginess had gone.
Progress, Fisher. The aqueous has cleared nicely. Limbal incision nicely healed. Good. But the central area of cornea, not so good. Take a look.
Well, there is some healing.
Not enough. 3 months. I confess I've never known anything like it. It's absurd. If his own cornea behaved like this, what are our chances with a donor's cornea?
So a contact lens is out of the question?
Definitely. But the healing of the limbal incision does suggest another option. I'll think about it. In the meantime, young man, there's no need to have your right eye stitched up again. At least you'll be able to see enough to tell where a window is in a room.
What he wants to do is implant a plastic lens in your eye, Steve.
It's a new technique, son. Mr. Kaplan wants both of us to consent to the operation.
Is that why you're back home, Dad?
It's not right that your mother should have to cope with all this by herself.
We've decided to give it another go, Steve. Anyway, it's not us that matters. It's this operation.
The point is, son, you could wait several years until the technique is perfected, but that'll mean missing your chance to go to university. Your education's behind enough as it is. I want you to go to university, and so does your mother. We both want you to have the opportunities that we never had, and this operation will give you that chance.
How'd it go?
I'm taking a look tonight. Mike.
Hmm?
Can you do me a favour? Read this letter to me.
Dorking postmark.
Don't like to ask the nurses.
Why not?
Might be private. Very private.
You, sure it's okay for me to read it?
Yeah.
I can't read this.
I don't mind you seeing it, Mike.
It's not that. It's in Braille.
What? Clever girl. She's used the Braille typewriter. My dearest, darling Steve.
Crikey!
Every day, I've been thinking of you. But especially today.
Because you've been gone 2 weeks, and Carol told me you're having your operation tomorrow. Last night I had a wicked thought. Please forgive me, my darling, but I selfishly thought that if anything goes wrong, you'd come back to me. It was terrible of me, but I do miss you so much. I long so much for you and keep thinking of our last swim. I want more than anything else in the world to go swimming with you like we did the last time. Tomorrow, a blind boy is arriving. Carol wants me to pair with him, but I don't want anyone. All I want is you. I want to feel your arms around me, and I want to be your eyes for the rest of our lives. Please come and see me as soon as you can. God bless you for now and always. This machine is an awful thing to use. I shall write again tomorrow. All my fondest love, Penny.
That's right, Alice. Make sure the blinds are properly shut and you can remove the rest of the bandage.
Yes, sir.
How about you, young man? Comfortable night?
Yes, sir.
Eye comfortable?
A little bit sore, sir.
Oh, only to be expected. All right, nurse. Take it off. Now then, Stephen. I want you to look straight ahead. Oh, good. Good. Can you see the point of light?
Yeah.
And if I hold it right back, it should be sharp. No longer blurred.
Still blurred.
You sure?
Yeah.
What about now?
Still blurred.
Why are you lying to me, young man?
I'm not lying.
I think I'm a fool boy. I can see the image on your retina. It's in perfect focus for the first time. It's in focus. Now tell me what this is.
Cat.
And this?
Dog.
That's better. Well, young man, you can see. You can see. Well, haven't you got anything to say?
I think I was his first lens implant patient, and I must have seemed the most ungrateful patient in the world.
But it must have been fantastic, having your sight back after all those months.
Yes, of course it was. They put me in a special side ward and opened the blinds little by little each day. Seeing again properly took a week. I still needed dark glasses because everything seemed unnaturally bright, but that was due to the atropine ointment they were shoving in my eye.
But to see again, Steve, it must have been a fantastic experience.
Yes, it was. There's no denying that, but at the time it was completely overshadowed by my burning obsession to see Penny again. Sneaking out of the hospital after breakfast was easy. 3 hours later, I was standing outside the gates of the Candace Webb School. Seeing it for the first time was an extraordinary experience. It was smaller than I imagined. It's strange how blindness changes scale. There were some kids in wheelchairs playing football, spinning and maneuvering their wheelchairs with incredible skill. Suddenly, they were all milling around me. Familiar voices, but the faces of strangers. It was like a radio play suddenly transformed to television in the closing minutes. they told me that Penny was down by the stepping stones. Finding my way down there was unexpectedly difficult without her guiding voice. It was her voice I heard as I neared the river. And then I saw her, a diminutive figure sitting in a wheelchair. The hair that I'd touched so often was jet black, glistening in the sunlight, hiding her face. As she laughed, I saw for the first time that someone was with her. A boy about my own age was leaning against a nearby tree, staring beyond her with sightless eyes. Then she turned her head towards me, and I saw her face for the first time. It was the face of a stranger. A beautiful stranger, but not the face I had in my mind. Still have in my mind.
Steve!
Hello, Penny.
Oh, Steve! How marvellous! You can see! You can really see! Oh, this is fantastic!
Kept my eyes closed all the way here so that you'd be the first thing I saw.
Oh, Mark, Steve's an old friend. You don't mind if we go for a walk, do you?
No.
We'll only be a few minutes.
All right.
Oh, Steve, it's so wonderful to see you again. Come on, let's go along the path.
You've got a new wheelchair.
I buckled the wheel on the old one just after you left.
You came down here by yourself?
Yes. Now I've got Mark. He was born blind. Oh, it's so wonderful you being able to see again. There's so many things I thought I'd want to say to you when I saw you again, and now I can't think of anything.
Same here. How far should we go?
Oh, I don't want to go all the way.
Why not?
I don't want to leave Mark for too long.
Oh?
Ah. I don't think you understand.
No.
He needs me, Steve.
So do I.
Not in the way Mark does, not anymore. Stop a minute. Come round and face me. Look at me, Steve. I'm a cripple. I've got nothing to offer a normal person, and therefore it's very important to me that I have someone who needs me. Do you understand?
I don't know. I'm confused. I thought that you and me...
And so did I, Steve. But Mark needs me. He'll be blind for the rest of his life. He needs me, and I need to be needed. I want to be able to make a contribution to his life as well as my own. I mean, it won't necessarily be him, but it'll be someone like him. Oh, please, don't be cross with me, Steve. I owe you so much, and I'll always love you. No, don't say you love me. Think how you needed me when you were blind, and then say you understand me. Please?
I don't know.
Come closer. Closer. God bless you and keep you. Always. And always think well of me.
I pushed her back to where Mark was waiting. I kissed her. That was the last I ever saw of her.
I can understand exactly how she felt.
Well, I didn't at the time.
Do you now?
Yes, I think I do.
How far is the school from here?
Well, about 30 miles. Why?
Let's go there.
What?
I'd love to see it.
It's probably been pulled down years ago.
And maybe it hasn't. We've got the rest of the day. Surely you'd like to see it.
I don't know. Yes. Yes, I'd like to see it very much indeed.
Yes, Kate? You won't believe this, but I've got a couple with me who are wondering if Carol Bingham is still alive. The man used to be a student here.
That must have been a few years ago. What are their names?
Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Foster.
All right, Kate. Show them in. I'll see if I can help.
Oh, thank you. Mrs. Francis? Good afternoon, Mr. Foster.
Please don't get up. This is my wife, Donna.
How do you do? You're an ex-student, Mr. Foster. Well, what can we do for you?
What happened to Carol Bingham?
Ah, she died 10 years ago.
Oh.
I'm now the headmistress.
Sorry to hear that. She was a remarkable woman. Mm. I was blinded for a period when I was much younger. I have fond memories of this place and was wondering if we could have a look around, please.
Of course. Ex-students are always welcome. Kate, could you find a volunteer to show Mr. and Mrs. Foster over the school, please?
Certainly. This is very kind of you, Mrs. Francis. My husband's been telling me all about this place.
I was here in the early 50s, coronation year. For the past 22 years, I've been living in America, and this is my first trip home.
Hence the slight transatlantic accent.
If you'd like to come this way, we'll find you an escort.
That's very kind of you to go to such trouble. Thank you.
They were a nice couple, Penny.
Mm, very nice. A cheque for £400.
Look.
Wow.
When was he here?
1953.
That must have been about the time when you were a student here.
Mm.
Well, didn't you recognise him?
Oh, yes. Right away. Strange. He hasn't changed that much. He didn't recognise me, of course. Which is hardly surprising. He only saw me for a few minutes.
But why didn't you say?
What would be the point? Anyway, he's probably forgotten all about me.
I remember you.
In A Darkening of the Moon by James Follett, adult Stephen was played by Blaine Fairman and young Stephen by Graham Blockie. Donna was Bonnie Harren, Mike, Sean Prendergast, Shrimpton, David Lerner, Janet, June Barry, Harry, George Parsons, and Dr. Kaplan, William Edel. Penny was Jenny Funnell, the nurse, Natasha Pine, Carol, Tessa Worsley, Mrs. Keith, Melinda Walker, Mary, Sarah Benfield, and Dr. Scranton, Paul Nicholson. A Darkening of the Moon was directed in Bristol by Sean McLaughlin.
There'll be another chance to hear A Darkening of the Moon later tonight at 2 a.m. Next Sunday we begin The Foresight Chronicles, designed at the time to give the audience what it says it wants, according to the radio critic Gillian Reynolds, writing in the Sunday Telegraph in September 1990. The BBC's 23-part radio adaptation of John Galsworthy's dynastic cycle of novels had the biggest, most star-studded and expensive cast ever to be assembled in Broadcasting House, at least for many a long year anyway. It appears to be an unsubtle attempt by the BBC to win back listeners to Saturday night theatre. It should do the same for Sunday lunchtimes on 7 from next week.
7 favourites. Number 1, Joanna Pinnock.
Well, you know, I always think it's nice to start the day with a bit of comedy, whether it's something a bit gentle like Smelling of Roses or something that's completely balmy, really, like Christopher Morrison On the Hour. And then, of course, we've had some fantastic dramas. I mean, things like Wilkie Collins' The Moonstain, which is a story that I really love. But I have to say that one of my real favourites is Sherlock Holmes. I'm a bit of a fan of Sherlock Holmes. And I think I would have been one of those people in the days when Conan Doyle was still writing his stories who went around with a black armband on when he killed him off on those Reichenbach Falls.
Comedy, books and drama with Joanna Pinnock. Weekday mornings on BBC 7.
On air, on DAB Digital Radio. Online, bbc.co.uk/BBC7.
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll throw up your hands in amazement.
Part of the BBC's new writing initiative.
God is my witness.
10 debut dramas.
But he couldn't make it, so I'd like to call Father Todd.
By some of Britain's top new writers.
A UFO?
Well, actually, it's a Mark 7 Star Shuttle.
Starting on Monday morning at 11:45.
Are you a vulture?
What does it look like?
I've never seen one up close before.
Not many have.
twice.
With an omnibus on Sundays.
Vulture collides with vulture. One spirals out of control, another hits a tree and explodes. It's a very special effect.
New drama.
I may not have Cheryl anymore, but at least I've got my delphiniums.
From the writers of the future.
Do excuse me, I just need to look through my underpants. I mean my briefs.
On BBC 7.
It's David McFetteridge at 3 with our programme for our very young listeners, The Little Toe Show. First, we continue the anthology.